It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A local healthcare provider recently announced that it will exit the Affordable Care Act marketplace in 11 Wisconsin counties beginning next year. That will force more than 24,000 people in Wisconsin to change insurers.
The cooperative Common Ground Healthcare cited rising healthcare costs, among other factors, for the exit. The health insurer Chorus Community Health Plans will also leave the ACA marketplace at the end of this year.
This comes as the health policy research organization KFF estimates ACA premiums will jump by around 15% next year. That's the biggest single-year increase since 2018. At the same time, federal subsidies for that coverage will go down.
Over 313,000 Wisconsinites signed up for marketplace coverage in last year's enrollment period, according to research from Covering Wisconsin. WPR reporter Joe Schultz is covering the local impacts of Common Ground Healthcare's departure from those counties. Joe, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
We see this from time to time. Companies add or remove counties. They enter, they leave the market. Give us a sense of the scope of this announcement, this departure from a bunch of counties.
Yeah, so Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative has been on the ACA marketplace in Wisconsin, in eastern Wisconsin, since 2014. They're going to be leaving 11 counties. Those include southeastern counties like Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine, as well as some counties kind of in the Fox Valley area, out of Gamey, Winnebago, Fond du Lac. Others include Sheboygan, Calumet, Dodge, Washera, and Wapaka counties. The move is going to affect more than 24,000 members, the insurance agency says. And, you know, those folks are going to have to look for new insurance providers and new plans.
What did the company say about its reasons for exiting those counties?
It said it was a business decision. You know, the company did say that it was a difficult decision that's, you know, meant to ensure the sustainability of the insurer moving forward.
I was looking at the state map of coverage in each county. There are still options, at least two options more in many counties, but it's a big change. What kind of things are you hearing from local and state officials after this announcement?
Well, there was a state senator that went on local TV and kind of talked about, you know, the loss of carriers, condenses coverage, and, you know, makes fewer options. This week, Governor Tony Evers and 17 other governors sent a letter to federal lawmakers. They were urging Congress to extend an enhanced premium tax credit that has helped kind of lower premiums and get more people on the ACA marketplace.
For people who have Common Ground Healthcare in those affected counties, Joe, what's the timeline? When do they need to make changes and make sure that they have coverage for 2026?
Yeah, so the company says, or the insurer says, November 1st is when open enrollment starts. They're recommending that members find a new plan by December 15th to make sure that they're covered at the start of the year.
Joe, thanks for bringing us up to date.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. That's Joe Schultz, reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. To take a broader look at the Affordable Care Act and why premiums are expected to increase, Julie Appleby is with us, senior correspondent at KFF Health News. Julie, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with, you know, we've got this announcement here, one company in Wisconsin dropping some counties. Do we see a lot of this kind of shuffling nationwide? Companies go in and leave certain coverage areas on the marketplace?
Yeah, generally there is some churn and people have to find a new plan. And I think it's perhaps going to be a little bit more churny, so to speak, this year, given there's a lot of uncertainties. And as your reporter was mentioning, there's cost increases. And that's another factor that's going to be playing into this.
Yeah, we mentioned median 15% increase next year for premiums based on KFF estimates. Why? Why are we seeing likely premium increases?
Yeah, this is a national look at the rate increases requested by insurers across the country. And they're giving a lot of different reasons. as usual, there is always inflation, right? There's trend. There's drug costs are going up, labor costs are going up. Everything goes up every year. So there's that's a piece of it. And the insurers have also said that they are also concerned about an increasing use of some expensive drugs, including those expensive weight loss drugs, but also some specialty medications for other conditions like cancer and that type of thing. They are also, though, many of them adding in the potential expiration of these enhanced tax credits. And we could talk a little bit more about those, but the insurers are worried that with that expiration, unless Congress acts to extend them, that there will be fewer people enrolling and that the people who are most likely to drop out are those who are either younger or healthier. And they see the new premium prices and say, wow, you know, I just can't afford this without those enhanced subsidies and won't enroll. So the insurers are building in, and the KFF study showed about 4% of the increase is higher than it otherwise would have been because they're building in the possibility that they will be left with sort of an older or sicker population.
I want to zoom in on that subsidy issue because this is for people on the marketplace. They're looking at the premium cost, but they're also looking at subsidies. And as you mentioned, those tax credits that had been there from the federal government. What led to this change?
Yeah, it's sort of a double whammy, people are calling it. So not only is the premium price probably going to go up, but people may lose these enhanced subsidies. And let's just back up a little bit. They were put in place under the Biden administration in a couple of COVID-related legislations, including the Inflation Reduction Act. And what they did was make the subsidies more generous kind of on both ends of the of the income spectrum. So for lower income people, they had to pay a smaller percentage of their household income toward their own premium. So they got bigger subsidies. And then on the other end, higher income people, before these enhanced subsidies, there's a cutoff at 4 times the federal poverty rate. And this year, that would be about $84,000, $84,600 for a family of two, and about $128,600 for a family of four. So after that, there were no subsidies available. But they were set to expire at the end of this year. So they are still set to expire at the end of this year unless Congress acts. And there is some discussion in Congress right now about that. But if they expire, it's going to go back to the previous pre-pandemic subsidy levels. There'll still be subsidies. They're just not going to be as generous. And there will be this sort of income cliff. So if somebody is at 401% of the federal poverty level, for example, they won't get a subsidy to help them purchase that monthly premium.
You wrote this week that the agency that oversees the Affordable Care Act marketplace is promoting plans with higher deductibles, fewer benefits, known sometimes as catastrophic plans. What are the pros and cons there if people are saying, hey, I'm getting priced out of the market, but maybe I can get this something?
Yeah, this is going to play out because I think, you know, there's a lot of concern about what's going to happen when people see what could be up to a 75% increase in what they have to pay out of pocket if these extended tax credits do expire. What are they going to do? There are other choices on the marketplace that they could maybe pick from, right? There's sort of these Olympic medal kind of color plans, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Maybe somebody would choose a plan that has a lower monthly premium but a higher deductible, like going from a gold to a silver plan, or maybe a silver to a bronze plan. Take into account that they have higher deductibles. What the Trump administration has now rolled out is said, we're going to make it easier for people to qualify for these sort of like little known plans called catastrophic plans, which are kind of a level below the bronze plans in terms of coverage. And they were mainly aimed at people who were 30 and under or up to age 30. Now there's going to be a hardship for people who lose their Affordable Care Act tax credits and want to apply for one of these. The pros and cons are the premiums are going to be a little bit lower, but the cons are the deductibles are fairly high. They're set at the out-of-pocket maximum for the year, which is more than $10,000 for an individual and more than $21,000 for a family. And the deductible, as you know, is the amount people have to pay before most coverage kicks in. Now, these catastrophic plans do allow up to 3 doctor visits per year without the paying that full deductible. And like all other ACA plans, they cover certain wellness screening things like cancer screenings and such without a copay as well. But that's a pretty hefty chunk of change to have lying around to pay the deductible with these plans.
Now, here's a wrinkle I hadn't heard about. A KFF report from earlier this year pointed to tariffs potentially leading to higher premiums next year. What's the connection?
That was one of the factors that some insurers cited in their rate increase requests. They're concerned particularly about tariffs on imported drugs. And the United States imports a lot of its drugs and ingredients in drugs. So they're concerned about what role that will play. Not all insurers did put that on. And a lot of them are kind of taking a little bit more wait and see attitude because the tariffs were on again, off again, that kind of thing. And it's not quite clear. But some of them did bake in a little bit of their premium increases for next year on that. And it could be substantial. I pulled a few numbers from Wisconsin if you're at all interested in knowing what the changes might be with and without those enhanced tax credits.
Yes, I would be interested.
So for a 26-year-old in Milwaukee who's earning about $23,000 a year, let's say, they're at 147% of what's called the federal poverty level. So they qualify for subsidies, and they'll still qualify for subsidies even if the enhanced tax credits expire. So if they are extended, this person would pay nothing per month. The full premium would be covered by the subsidies. Without the extension, they would be required to pay 4% of their household income towards it, which would be about $77 a month. So they'd go from paying nothing to about $77 a month unless they bought a less expensive plan. But that's a silver benchmark plan. Okay, so that's for a 26-year-old making $23,000. Let's look at a 58-year-old couple. They're making, let's say, $63,000 a year. That's just under 300% of the federal poverty rate, so they would still qualify. So with the enhanced subsidies, if they remain in place, they'd pay about $310 a month. But if Congress does not extend them, it would be about $520 a month, so almost $200 more. And it is, it's, there's been some legislation introduced to extend the tax credits, but it's by no means certain because there's a lot of fiscal conservatives who say that that's just not a good idea. There's also, though, some people who are looking at their districts and seeing a lot of folks who are on the ACA plans and are concerned about the financial effects on those constituents, and so they may be more willing to vote for that. So I would say it's very uncertain right now, the fate of that particular legislation.
A lot to watch there. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Julie Appleby, senior correspondent at KFF Health News. We also heard from Joe Schultz, reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio, looking at changes in Affordable Care Act marketplace coverage and premiums.